Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the December 2nd edition of Commodity Week. Chicago this week, corn futures finished higher. Is it the beginning of some base building or just a pause on the way down? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Chief Economist at Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois, Bill Turney. In studio with us today, our panelists include Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Gentlemen, let's begin our discussion with this question. Futures in the corn pit from Chicago did finish the week just a bit higher, at least in the lead option. Was that good news for corn?
Paul Cooley. Well, I think the good news is that we had an unemployment number of 8.6%. That's probably the best news we've had for several years. The big thing is that the corn market is very stubbornly dull, and of course the USDA next Friday will issue a new supply-demand report on just telling us just what the real demand is. Sparks feels that we'll see Informa 673 million carryover, but something has to happen for that number to get smaller, in my opinion.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Well, I think seasonally what the market's trying to do is pretty normal in here, is trying to make a stand here after a pretty sharp decline during November, trying to catch some seasonal uplift. Seasonal uplift usually takes hold first week or so of December, and we try to climb higher on into January. I thought Friday's close was definitely disappointing. As far as the storyline goes, we all know that export demand is absolutely terrible, but we do have a lot of concerns what the overall supply is, and unfortunately, we're really not going to know that until come January.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think what Dan said is very true. We've got a lot of farmers out here saying there's not corn in my bin, there's not corn in the elevator's pile. And we think that this should be a little more solid. But I think we're seeing most of our corn go to the interior markets, such as the ethanol plants and that. And our basis levels haven't been competitive with all the foreign feed wheat, with other the corn and the shipping levels by the time we get there. So our exports have been poor. And I think we're doing a good job of rationing this really shorter crop than what the USDA has projected so far.
When you say our basis levels haven't been competitive, that's because they've been
too high.
Well, too high.
They're competitive for the farmer to sell, but they're not competitive to sell to foreign users.
December corn this week is 6.09¾, top a bottom at 5.85¼, settlement price at 5.86½, up 4 cents. December futures of next year, 5.53¼, 17¾ cents higher. Dan, on the margin, the export market is where the extra bushel goes. But it's not been going, so that's been holding back the price, I suppose, in Chicago. Can we find a place where that value of the corn increases?
I don't know. I think the story has to change. We're going to have to get focused on a shorter supply. I don't think the export market is going to give any kind of push to this market in either corn or soybeans. You know, if you look at your year-to-date totals compared to where they were a year ago, we are significantly behind. And when you look ahead, it just looks like the Black Sea area has a lot of inventory to move into the world market. It looks like South America has significant inventory yet to move into the world market, especially soybeans. They're carrying in or carrying over 3 million tons of soybeans. And I think this is where the soybean market has really got a problem. This is the time of year that South America is out of inventory, and they basically come to the North America supplies for their demand. And that does not look to be the case, at least in the near term here.
Paul, you mentioned next week's USDA reports. Can you go through some numbers again for us?
Well, you know, the easy arithmetic is simple. We do know that Ohio has 25% of their corn still out in the fields and 5% of their soybeans. And, of course, the other factor is that we do get the feeling that the soybean and corn basis levels are pretty tight. So one would assume that we could see a little smaller carryover than what the USDA has been talking about. And, of course, that is probably one of the most bullish things we have to look forward to in the next coming week.
Do you think that'll happen, that the number that we get next week will show a little smaller carryover, or will USDA hold the line?
The question is going to be, will the carryover increase or decrease because of that? I think we're going to probably knock exports and keep the end just the same.
Yeah, and your thoughts?
I think there's room for export, downward adjustment exports, and that could be followed through with larger carryouts.
Gee whiz, I was trying to give everybody a little hope here.
I knew you were. I really knew you were, Paul.
For the most part, I think the December report, they could cancel that one. But I guess we still have to go through it. I mean, the big one is going to be the January 1, and that's going to give us our stocks numbers. And that one's really going to lay the groundwork for where we're going to go for the first quarter of 2012.
We're a couple of dollars off of the big highs, a dollar off where producers would really like to market their commodity for corn. Do you think we'll ever get back there in the next, you know, for this marketing year?
We do get a lot of phone calls from producers that still have basically 40-45% of their old crop inventory still in hand, and most of them come away with, where was I when I was harvesting the crop? Why didn't we move more into the inventory? And, of course, we have to go back even to Commodity Week last week when your panel basically said we do have to lower our sights, and I think that's probably one of the biggest surprises we have to tell everybody, and we have to trade hard.
What are your sights?
Well, I think we have to move inventory in that 625 to 50 area if it ever happens.
I'd have to agree. We've got sell orders in at 623, 24, 25.
I don't have any disagreement with that. I think the market's going to struggle this year. You know, the last several years we've had to kind of rally during February to kind of buy acres. This year it doesn't appear the market is in that situation, and it kind of looks like we might have maybe an old-fashioned seasonal winter of basically February weakness, February bearishness, rather than a rally. So I guess I would be in the mood here if I could catch a rally between now and January crop report. That would be probably a spot to kind of move some inventory that needed to be moved yet this winter.
Paul, the Chinese say they had an awfully good crop, maybe better than we first expected. Does that mean very much to the marketplace at this point?
Well, it caused a lot of spread liquidation on Friday, big time. People long corn, short wheat, and they liquidated it, big time. It was an interesting concept that the Chinese, basically had this big inventory of corn and to some extent wheat, I think. But it was a surprise to the marketplace, and I think it was one big factor why we closed on the dull side.
Yeah, I mean, the market was been talking about 182 to 185 million tons, and now we're talking about 190 or so. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't too long ago, wasn't it the U.S. Feed Grains Council?
U.S. Grains Council.
They had a survey, and they were talking 160 million tons of corn. So there's some pretty big wide gaps there. But if China does have that 190 million ton crop or anywhere close to that, that really pulls the rug out from anybody that wants to be bullish China demand as we go forward.
The bright side, though, is their livestock numbers are – it's very profitable to raise livestock in China, so their demand is great there.
The wheat market this week up 37 and three-quarter cents in the nearby December at 612 and a quarter. Had a top at 20 and a bottom at $5.72.5. July, the new crop at 654, up 36 and a quarter. We seem to have an abundance of wheat on the world market, at least we thought we did. And then things started to change or sound a little different this week. What'd you make of that?
Well, we've got a lot of wheat around, but there's more money into storing it than selling it. So that is kind of an odd situation, the wheat market. I think wheat is performing very seasonally. It's not uncommon for wheat to drift into a late November low and then begin to climb its way into a winter high. Pretty much worry about winter kill, weather conditions of the winter wheat crop and whatnot. And, you know, you don't have to look very far at the drought monitor, and you can kind of see that at some point in time here, the market is going to be concerned about dryness.
You know, there's a couple of things. Australia got too much rain, and they're worried about the quality of their wheat for milling quality, number one. It's going to put more feed wheat on the market is what we're expecting. The other thing is we're seeing some very dry spots, Russia, Ukraine, that area. They'd planned on planting more wheat, but it's going to be more spring wheat now rather than the fall wheat. And, of course, the U.S., it looked like because of the insurance guarantees, and they put stuff out in some areas that probably won't make it and will be called winter kill in a lot of areas. So our harvested acres should be way down. All those things add up to the possibility of the speculative trade being way, way short, and a little things happen, so a little pop could come if they do some short covering.
January soybeans this week, an 11.46 top, bottom at 11.11.5, settlement price at $11.35.75, up 29 and a quarter, November at 11.23.5, up 36 cents Friday to Friday. It looks like the South Americans own the export market at this point. Does that worry you very much?
Of course it does. I mean, we are looking here. A lot of cash rents went up this past year for farmers. They're trying to decide whether to plant corn or beans as we look out there. And as we back off a little bit, why it looks like they're going to still be shading towards corn. And yet we're seeing a lot of things go that way. But I also have to say that we're going to see if we can pop up another 20, 30 cents. I think we'll see some sales by farmers on the beans.
I think the big three are, you know, buy beans out of South America. And I think they're moving inventory in off that they own from South America into the marketplace a little quicker. I think it's an unusual event, but it does. The arithmetic is there, and they're taking full advantage of it. So we do need to sell some soybeans to China, and everybody in the industry says it'll happen sometime.
We need to sell soybeans to China. Do farmers need to sell soybeans to the marketplace?
You know, I think so. That carryover over 215 million bushels, million tons, or wait, 215 million bushels
right.
Is enough to keep the market, I think, from going to $12 here anytime soon.
I think technically I'm kind of in the camp that I am in corn. I think the market has a chance in here. To try to put together some kind of December rally, maybe going into the January crop report. There's some formations on the chart that kind of indicate to me that maybe that January soybean does have a shot at punching up through the $12 level. That is still kind of a steep mountain to climb, but I do think there's room to try to give the market at least an opportunity to try to reach up into those levels.
Just a minute and a half left in our first half of the program. What's your best advice about new crop sales, corn and soybeans, at this time?
I think on any rallies, you want to get up to at least 20 to 30% sold, Todd. I think we're looking at some tremendous acres to be planted in the U.S. and around the world, and I think that it's going to be prudent to get some sold.
Dan?
I'd probably at this point in time be looking at more minimum price contracts because even though things look bearish here for the next 30 to 60 days or so, I do think that we will have some kind of spring rally in here that will give everybody a shot at maybe some little better prices than what they're looking at.
And Paul?
The arithmetic is clear. You need to be a big seller on major rallies and use writing calls as another tool.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Bill Turney. He's at AgriSource Company in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to Commodity Week. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. This is the December 2nd edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. On the phone line from Chicago, Illinois, at AgriSource Company is the chief economist for AgriSource, Bill Turney. Good afternoon to you, Bill. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Happy to be here.
Talk to me about the global front and the world supply of coarse grains to begin with, please.
Well, it's really difficult to talk about just coarse grains this year because of the abundance of feed wheat and the price competitiveness of feed wheat. Even soft-red winter wheat at the Gulf has been priced below corn. Some of the analysis that I've been trying to do is look at the combined supply. If you look at just coarse grains and you throw out China in your analysis, global coarse grain stocks-to-use ratios are worrisingly tight. In fact, there is no wiggle room at all. But when you add what you estimate to be the feed wheat component of wheat stocks in there, things get a little bit looser, and I think that's one of the factors that the market is struggling with is the trade-off between just strictly U.S. corn fundamentals, global coarse grain fundamentals, the uncertainty about what China's situation is, and then you throw in the very clear and unequivocal large supply of feed wheat and the price competitiveness of feed wheat, and then people are confused in their minds about what 2012 holds. There's the clear expectation that U.S. Corn acres are going to go up, and even though there's all kinds of climatic concerns about the dryness in the U.S. right now, how the Southwest often has been an incubator of droughts. I've even seen some commentary, which I'm trying to verify. I've seen some weather commentary that it's drier here in the United States than it was in 1982 prior to the 83 drought, in 1987, prior to the 88 drop. But at least some of the analysis that I've looked at doesn't seem to confirm that. But be that as it may, there's a lot of talk out there about how there's greater risk of drought in 2012. But, you know, from doing this for 30 years now, I'd say right now you generally have to probably use trend yield. So people are using 94 million acres, 93 million acres planted. They're plugging in trend yields anywhere from 162 to 164, and they're saying there's going to be ample supply next year. And if those things do occur, there will be definitely much more supply here in the United States.
Bill, when do you think the USDA will finally get their stocks reports a little bit closer to some of the analyst guesses? I mean, it's kind of a roller coaster.
Well, first off, having worked for the USDA, as the principal grains economist from 2003 to 2006, I worked for the World Board. I didn't work for NASS because NASS has statisticians and World Board has economists. You have to understand that it's not USDA's job to match what industry expectations are. It's obviously very clear that the trade is confused, and I would say some people are upset at particularly the differences between the June stocks report and the September stocks report. I think the intensity of their emotions is because of the extremely small size of the stocks. I mean, if the USDA was off 100 or 200 million bushels from expectations in a normal year, you know, it'd be a yawner. People would say, who cares? But when you get stocks to use down at 6%, 7%, 5% stocks to use, 100 million bushels, 150 million bushels to the right or left of that number can make a substantial difference because we are on the least inelastic portion of the demand curve. When you've got stocks down this low, very small changes can result in a swing of as much as a dollar. If you change, you go from 5% stocks to use to 3 or 5 up to 7. And that's what 150 million bushels would do. So you have to understand that the USDA, no matter how much the industry complains, is not going to go into lockup looking over their shoulder. They clearly will be responsive to how can we do a better job, and they are responsive, I believe, to the concerns of the industry, but they're not going to go in there and look over their shoulder and say, okay, what did the Reuters survey, the Dow Jones survey say? Well, maybe we should make our number match that. They're never going to do that.
Bill, looking at South America here for a moment, as I mentioned earlier, they probably have somewhere around 3 million tons of soybeans more than what they had a year ago, and they're still in the marketplace. As you look down the road and the expansion that's going to take place in South America, do you see South America being a year-round supplier of soybeans?
It's interesting that you mention that. One of the things I'm trying to get my arms around is all of the biodiesel mandates that are out there. And there is a clear expectation here in the United States that EPA is going to supposedly finalize what the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, will be for 2012. They were supposed to have it done by the end of the November, and they still haven't done it. Last year, they didn't come out until December 9th. One new feature is that there is a new 2 billion gallon fuel standard for advanced biofuels. And it's widely anticipated that biodiesel will fill about a billion gallons of that. And there's also increasing mandates in Argentina and in Brazil, in Europe. And what I'm trying to do is get a spreadsheet together and figure out what the mandates are precisely, figure out what diesel consumption is, and see, okay, if they actually live up to those mandates, how much consumption are we going to have? So there's a increasing concern in the industry that the availability of beans, whole beans coming out of South America, is going to be going down, perhaps, simply as they have to crush more beans to meet their own biodiesel mandates. Now, keep in mind that just because you have, particularly for these governments, and it's true for the United States, the EPA under the ESA Act has significant flexibility and can change and waive the mandates. And clearly in the case of Brazil, the way they manage their biofuels program, in fact, the way they manage their entire transportation fuel sector, the government can say, okay, we require 25% ethanol in fuel supply. Nope, we only require 20% ethanol in fuel supply. And they can adjust prices for gasoline and diesel up and down. So just because you have a mandate doesn't necessarily mean that the government's going to stick with that mandate. So there's a lot of uncertainty about it, but that is one of the factors that is expected to cause increased crush. And as you know, the Chinese do not want to import meal. They want to import whole beans. And if that's what they want to do, there may be a reduced supply coming out of Argentina as well as Brazil.
Bill, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
Bill Turney is chief economist at Ag Resource Company in Chicago, Illinois. Now it's time for a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, Todd, I think we ought to be looking for a little bounce here to get a little new crop moved or on the books.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
There's two things that I'm kind of watching for and looking at the charts. It kind of looks like crude oil has a shot at new record highs over the next several months, and it kind of looks like next stop in gold is up around the $2,300-$2,400 level.
And Paul Cooley.
There continues to be a lot of excitement in the Midwest with land values and the past wealth of the last 3 or 4 years. A tip of the hat to the farm industry.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great week.